The message tonight is the cross before the crown. Today is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of Holy Week, and we are going to read Matthew's account of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which here we know as Palm Sunday. So tonight I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. If you have a Bible, you can follow along with me. Matthew 21, 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And this comes from Zechariah 9:9. Verse 6. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them, on the cloaks. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And in John 12:13, it says they cut palm branches. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." So the crowds were speaking to Jesus. They were praising him. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." The word Hosanna was a word of praise and honor to Jesus. But it also means, "Save us." When they said, "Hosanna in the highest," they were saying, "Save us, most exalted one." You see, Jesus was about to do just that. Jesus came to save. He didn't come as a political Messiah to save the people from the power of Rome. But he came as a spiritual Messiah to save the people, to save us from the power of sin. Jesus came as a spiritual Messiah to save us from eternal separation from God in hell. Is that good news here tonight? So in 5 days from this point in Matthew 21 would be Friday. We call it Good Friday. Jesus, on Friday, 5 days from this point in Matthew 21, was headed towards Friday. He was headed towards the cross, the crucifixion. As I said, we call it Good Friday here. And Jesus would be crucified on a cross for the sins of the world, so that whoever believes in him would be saved from sin's power, so that whoever believes in him would be saved from hell eternally. So tonight, for the next few moments, we're going to talk about the cross before the crown. The cross precedes the crown. You know, the Roman cross form of crucifixion was brutal. Jesus went through a brutal and torturous death on that cross. I'm not going to get into the details tonight because it's gory. They nailed his hands and his feet after they put a crown of thorns on his head. And then after he died, a soldier pierced him on the side with a spear. And he bled. And he died for our sins. He died for the sins of the world, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus died upon this cross 5 days from Matthew 21. On a Friday, Good Friday we call it. He died upon the cross for you and for me. He shed his blood for the forgiveness of
our sins. And now he is crowned with glory and honor. Jesus, on that Easter day, that Sunday, 3 days after he was crucified, he rose from the dead. And next Sunday we'll be celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He was on this earth for a number of days, and then he ascended back to the Father. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He has been crowned with glory and honor. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews 2:9. The writer of Hebrews says, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels," now for a little while, "now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death on that cross. He tasted death for everyone. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What did he say to his disciples in Matthew 28:18? He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor, seated at the right hand of God. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus has got that crown. But the cross came before the crown. The cross preceded that crown in his life. The cross, I'm here to tell you tonight, precedes or comes before the crown. You know, as Jesus' followers, there is a crown in store for us. It's called a crown of righteousness that is awaiting you and me who follow Jesus Christ. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy, verse 4. He writes this. 2 Timothy 4:6. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." There was awaiting Paul the Apostle a crown of righteousness. Why is it a crown of righteousness? Because he lived Christ-like and righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit after he was converted. He suffered a whole lot for the sake of the gospel. He knew that his end was coming. He knew he was going to die. And he was telling Timothy that there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him, but not only him, but awaiting all who hope, who have longed for the appearing of Jesus. In other words, there is a crown of righteousness that is awaiting every single person that has put faith in Jesus Christ. You know, there is a crown of righteousness awaiting you in heaven one day. Is that good news here tonight? But before we receive that crown in heaven one day, when we hear God say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant, take your reward, your eternal crown of righteousness." Before we receive that crown one day in heaven, we too, like Jesus, must experience the cross. You might be thinking tonight, the cross? I've got to experience the cross? Yes, we've got crosses in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ that we must go through. It's not a popular message, but I'm not preaching my opinion. I'm preaching the Word of God. The cross precedes the crown for us. And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in Luke chapter 9 about his impending death, he talked about exactly this. Luke chapter 9. Verse 20, Luke 9:20. looked at Peter, but who do you say, but what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Peter answered, the Christ of God, the Son of the living God. Verse 21, Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, here's the key verse, guys. If anyone would come after me, in other words, if anyone calls himself would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up his cross once in a while. No, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. You read that scripture again, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, what is the cross for believers? Let me put it this way. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you were born again. Your spirit was renewed. Paul writes to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your spirit was reborn. You became a new person spiritually. But even as a new person, as a regenerate person, the sin nature will try to pop its ugly head in your life pretty consistently. And Paul dealt with this. You can read this in Romans chapter 7. He says the good he wanted to do, he didn't do. But the evil he didn't want to do, he kept on doing. He said it was no longer him, but it was sin on the inside doing that in his life. Paul had to deal with the sin nature consistently popping its ugly head in his life. And he was, in Romans 7, he was writing as a regenerate person, a person who was converted to Christ in Acts chapter 9. But even though he was a new person in Christ, he was dealing with this battle. He was dealing with the sin nature that would try to pop its ugly head in his life. He was a preacher of the gospel. He was establishing churches, but there was this battle in his life. The sin nature will try to pop its ugly head in your life pretty consistently, friends. And on a pretty consistent basis, not once in a while, but daily, you will have to deny and crucify the lusts, desires, and pleasures that the sinful nature tries to throw at you. We're new creations in Christ Jesus, but the sin nature will try to pop its ugly head in our lives. So tonight we're going to talk about a few hypotheticals of the sin nature throwing its temptations at you. Remember, we've got to deny ourselves and take up our crosses daily. Maybe, for instance, here's just a few hypotheticals. Maybe you talked with a friend about meeting Monday night at a restaurant, perhaps Jason's Deli here at 15th and Peoria. You had a 6 o'clock dinner appointment. And so that friend shows up late. 6:15 comes and she doesn't show up. 6:30 doesn't show up. 6:45 and she finally shows up. Never texted you. Never called you. Never updated you. And you get irritated on the inside. She tells you, well, I'm sorry, my mom, who I haven't talked to in a long time, called me and it went longer than expected. But here I am at 6:45. You're irritated. And the sin nature in you would want you to speak a four-letter word to her. But you deny yourself the desire to cuss that person out. You crucify that feeling. You bite your tongue. And you don't cuss that person out. You forgive that person. That's denying yourself. Denying yourself the desire to really speak a bad four-letter word into her life. It's taken up that little cross in your life. You bite your tongue. And as Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:29, that no unwholesome talk should come out of our mouths. Maybe, here's another hypothetical, and there's so many more examples, but just a couple of more. Maybe you've been sober from alcohol for maybe, let's say, 6 months, or maybe a month, maybe a year, or a good while. And you happen to be walking down a street here in Tulsa, and you pass by a liquor store, and you have some extra cash in your pocket. And all at once, the sin nature tempts you to indulge in a bottle of Jack Daniels. It's tempting you. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you look the other way. You keep walking past the liquor store, and instead, with that money you have, you buy a needy person dinner. What have you done? You've denied yourself the pleasure of drinking, and you crucified that desire because you realize that your body, from the scripture, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19. You see, the sin nature that pops its ugly head will tempt us with its desires, with its lusts, with its pleasures. But you've got to deny yourself. You've got to crucify that desire. You've got to put it to death, that pleasure, that lust, and not fall for that temptation. God will give you His divine strength to not fall and succumb to the temptation. Is that good news here tonight? There's going to be opportunities on a daily basis to deny yourself the lusts and the desires and the pleasures that the sin nature or that sin would try to toss at you on a consistent basis. Another hypothetical, the last one. Maybe, let's say for instance, you're here on the streets of downtown Tulsa. And maybe you happen to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with three people. Right? And as you're talking about Jesus to this group of three or four, one person in that group calls you a religious nut. And it embarrasses you. And so all at once, that sin nature that tries to pop its head tempts you to retaliate with a, well, if I'm a religious nut, then you're a sinner. You're just a sinner. But instead of indulging yourself with a retaliatory comeback, you bite your tongue. You deny yourself the desire to shoot back, and you bless that person instead. And if they call you a religious nut, you say, well, you know what? God loves you anyway, and I believe in you. That's denying yourself, friends, taking up your cross, losing your life so that one day in eternity you will save it, that you will receive that crown of righteousness that is stored up for you and for me. Amen? And as you deny yourself, as you crucify the flesh, what are you doing? You're living Christ-like. You're living righteously by the power of the Holy Spirit. When it gets tough for your flesh, call out on God and say, God, it's hard for me at this moment in time for me to crucify my flesh. But God, I thank you that you give me your divine power by the Holy Spirit to do it. And God will give you His strength. You know, Jesus, when you accepted Him as your Savior, but He also wants to be your Lord, supreme in authority. He wants to be the controller of your life. Jesus wants to be in the driver's seat of your life. And a big part of making Jesus Christ Lord on a daily basis, you see, it's a lifelong process to make Jesus Lord over your mind, over your spirit, over your body, over your words, over your finances. It is a long-term process, a lifelong process to make Jesus Lord. And a big part of making Jesus Lord over your life is doing what? Is denying yourself those fleshly lusts, those fleshly desires, those worldly pleasures. A big part of making Jesus Christ Lord is crucifying those desires, crucifying those lusts, crucifying those pleasures that the sin nature would try to throw at you. This is called losing your life so that one day you will save it in eternity. So, I'm going to read you a quick illustration here. from the speaker's quote book, and it says this: Michelangelo was asked why he always wore a miner's cap when he painted. His reply was that he never wanted a shadow of himself to fall on his canvas. Self-denial. Self-denial. Crucifying the flesh, friends, on a consistent basis. And, you know, there is help spiritually for crucifying those sinful desires. In your own flesh, in your own strength, you can't do it, but God can. So when that sinful nature tries to pop its head in your life, and your flesh just wants it, you just want that thing so bad, that lust, that pleasure, you just want it so bad, and you're like, God, I can't do this. I'm about to fall. I'm about to succumb. Cry out to God and say, God, I can't do this on my own. And God will empower you by the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of you. What did Jesus say? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Acts 1:8. When you receive Jesus as your Spirit, as your Savior, the Holy Spirit took up residence on the inside of you. Just cry out and say, God, this desire, this lust, this pleasure has a strong pull on me. I can't resist it, but God, I know through you I can do all things. And God will give you his divine supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit to resist and not fall for that temptation. That's called the cross, crucifying the flesh. That's called taking up your cross on a daily basis. Remember, the cross precedes the crown. The cross in your life, denying yourself, comes before the crown of righteousness that you will receive in heaven one day when you hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servants. Another primary way to crucify those sinful desires is by the word of God. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is all about the law. It's all about the word of God. It says in Psalm 119, verse 11, the psalmist writes, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The psalmist writes, I have hidden your word, O God, in my heart that I might not sin against you. So, how does the renewal of the mind come about? By getting into the word of God. My question to you tonight is this: are you in the Word of God on a consistent basis? You've got to be in the Word of God, reading it daily. And I know I've preached this in the past, and I'll preach it again. You have got to be in the Word of God on a consistent daily basis, not just at Easter, not just at Christmas time. You've got to be in the Word of God every single day. You've got to be meditating and thinking about the Word of God that you are reading. You've got to hide it within your heart. And if it's hidden within your heart, guess what? When that sinful nature tries to throw its pleasure, its lust, its desire to you, guess what? God will cause the Holy Spirit to bring up that word that's stored up in your heart, and you'll be able to resist that lust, that pleasure, that temptation, because the word of God is on the inside of you. So if you're passing, like I said earlier, by that liquor store, right, and you're just so tempted to buy a bottle of liquor, you'll remember that the Word of God says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You'll remember that. You'll turn your head and you just keep walking on. And guess what? You didn't fall for the temptation. That sinful nature at that point will have lost. Amen? Is that making sense here tonight? You know, when you're just irritated with somebody, as I was talking about earlier, you're just irked with that person who just gets under your skin, and you're just tempted to speak that four-letter word. The sin nature is throwing that temptation at you to speak that four-letter word. What happens? The word of God that's stored up on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit will bring it out of you, and you'll remember, well, the word of God says, let no unwholesome talk, bad talk, come from my mouth. So I am going to clip my lip. I am going to bite my tongue, and I am not going to speak that bad word. I'm going to bless that person instead. Friends, this is called denying yourself, taking up your cross on a daily basis, losing your life. Because remember, the cross, The denial of self precedes that crown of righteousness that you will receive in heaven one day. And I can almost guarantee when you leave this place here tonight here, and when you leave this room, or possibly tomorrow, sin, the flesh is going to try to throw some desire, some pleasure, something at you to try to get you to fall. But guess what? With God's strength and the Word of God in you, you can deny yourself. You can deny that desire. You can crucify that pleasure. You can crucify that lust that the flesh is trying to get you to fall for. It's going to happen on a consistent basis. You know why? Because even though we're followers of Jesus Christ, even though you've placed your faith in Jesus, we still are imperfect people in an imperfect world. It's only when we get to heaven one day that we will be in a perfect existence. All right? On a daily basis, you've got to crucify the flesh. On a daily basis, you have got to take up your cross and deny yourself. That's a major part of making Jesus Christ your Lord, supreme in authority. Amen?
Amen.
And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus once as my Savior, but tonight I want to do so. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, but tonight you want to do so for the first time, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room for the first time wanting to accept Jesus as your Savior? Anybody in the room here tonight? Anybody in the room? All right, maybe you accepted Jesus at some point in the past, but maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with someone and you've slipped away from Jesus. And tonight you want to re-give your life back to Christ. You want to recommit your life to Jesus tonight. Remember, crucifying the flesh, denying self, losing your life for the sake of the gospel, all starts with a relationship, with a friendship with Jesus Christ. So, if there's anybody here in the room tonight that wants to re-give their life back to Jesus, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. See that hand? Stand up,
Amen.
Sir.
Amen.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. If God's Spirit is whispering to you that you need to re-give your life to Jesus tonight, don't ignore His voice. Heed the voice of the Spirit. Because guess what? The next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know that you would spend it in heaven with Jesus forever? Anybody else want to follow their lead? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody next to you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. Anybody else want to follow the lead of these two men? Anybody else? Anybody else? Wanting to re-give, recommit your life to Jesus. If God is tugging at your heart by the Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Crucifying the flesh and its desires. Denying yourself, taking up your cross on a daily basis, losing yourself, starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Anybody else in the room here tonight? Anybody else? All right, those brothers standing up, come forward. Come forward. Last call. Anybody want to re-give your life to Jesus? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right. Repeat this prayer, brother. Say, Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things. But tonight, I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only, Jesus. Be my Lord. Full charge of every part of my life. Give me the strength to follow you all the days of my life. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hand here tonight. All right. For those who recommitted your lives to Jesus Christ tonight, there are ways, spiritual disciplines, in order to remain close to Christ. You've got to be getting into the Word. You've got to be going to church. You've got to be praying to God. You've got to find good, strong Christian friends. Amen? May God richly bless you throughout this Holy Week. Next Sunday, we're going to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of Jesus from the grave over 2,000 years ago. Amen? God bless you.